a place where the hatred between their peoples couldn't destroy them. Whatever the truth, they had taken it to their graves. Now both were 10 years dead, and Jabriel sat on the Carnelian throne. His mother had ruled the empire of his enemies. He carried the secret of his heritage like a bomb ready to detonate within him. He kept his bedroom darkened as he gazed at the city below, Coxire, the capital of his empire. He could no longer see the lights that glistened on the lofty towers, nor could he see beyond the city to the thundering waves that crashed on a shoreline of dazzling black sand. The scene's luster blurred into luminous washes of color, for tonight the emperor wept. A door hissed across the room. He tensed, knowing it could be only one person. His bodyguards would stop anyone else. Unless they were dead, and this was an assassination attempt, he felt more sorrow at the thought of their possible deaths than the thought of his own. He continued to gaze out the window. If an assassin had come upon him tonight, perhaps he should let the killer free him from the agony of his so-called glorious reign. Footsteps whispered on the deep-piled rug. Someone stopped behind him, and he heard breathing. "If you have a knife," Jabriel said, "I would suggest placing it between my third and fourth ribs." A woman spoke in a dusky voice. "I never carry knives. They're too obvious." Jabriel turned around. The woman stood at nearly his height, her leanly muscled body taut with coiled energy. Glittering black hair brushed her shoulders, and her upward-tilted eyes were as red as gems. Her high cheekbones underscored her aquiline beauty, giving her the profile that graced several Euboean coins. Her black jumpsuit resembled a uniform, except that it fit snugly, accenting her sultry, panther-like sensuality. She could have passed for 35, but Jabriel knew the truth. His wife was more than a century in age. "You don't need a knife," he said. "You cut to the bone without it." Her lips curved upward. "I thank you for the compliment." "What would you consider an insult?" he asked dryly. "If I called you sweet and accommodating?" She raised her sculpted eyebrow at him. "For what possible reason would you say such a thing?" "Perhaps because just once," he thought, "I would like a wife who showed even one of those traits." She didn't catch his thought. She had no telepathic ability. Although she wasn't an empath, either, she was far more attuned to his moods than he would have thought possible for a member of the Hyton Aristo caste. Of course, he was supposedly Hyton as well. He had the shimmering black hair, red eyes, and alabaster skin. No one had any idea he possessed the forbidden abilities of a scion. "I was curious to see your reaction," he said. It was even true. "No games, Jay. Not tonight." She sounded tired. Or, more accurately, she let her fatigue show. Although she presented a perfect, cool exterior to the world, he knew her too well to be fooled. "Why not tonight?" he asked. It was refreshing to ask a straight question. In normal discourse, Hytons never did. Direct speech was an insult, for Aristos used it only with their slaves. Except, of course, between lovers. He had long ago decided not to dwell on the implications, that they used the same form of speech with lovers and slaves. His wife, Tarquin, walked away across the dimly lit room. "It's the mercantile lines," she said, sounding distracted. Well, hell, if Tarquin decided some group posed a threat, she could do a great deal of damage. As finance minister, she wielded far too much influence over the economics of the Euboean Empire. Her reach could affect even the other two civilizations that shared the stars with them. The Scolian Imperialate...